Obama's Coalition of the Unwilling. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With my weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. President Barack Obama met recently with the prime ministers of Canada and Britain. This week's meeting with Britain's Gordon Brown, who is pitching a global New Deal, created a minor flap when the White House downsized a full news conference to an Oval Office question and answer session, viewed by some in Britain as a snub. The change was attributed to the weather, with the Rose Garden covered with snow. It might have actually related not to snow cover, but to a snow job, covering up the growing divide between Afghanistan policies. U.S. policy in Afghanistan includes a troop surge already underway and continued bombing in Pakistan using unmanned drones. Escalating civilian deaths are a certainty. The United Nations estimates more than 2,100 civilians died in 2008, a 40% jump over 2007. The occupation of Afghanistan is in its eighth year, and public support in many NATO countries is eroding. Joseph Stiglitz, winner of the 2001 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economics, told me,
"The move into Afghanistan is going to be very expensive. Things are not going very well. Our European partners are getting disillusioned with the war. I talked to a lot of the people in Europe, and they really feel this is a quagmire. We're going into another quagmire."
41 nations contribute to NATO's 56,000 troop presence in Afghanistan. More than half the troops are from the U.S. The United Kingdom has 8,300 troops, Canada just under 3,000. Maintaining troops is costly, but the human toll is greater. Canada, with 108 deaths, has suffered the highest per capita death rate for foreign armies in Afghanistan, since its forces are based in the south around Kandahar, where the Taliban is strong. This is the Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper on CNN.
"We're not going to win this war just by staying. We're not going to, in fact, my own judgment for it is, quite frankly, we are not going to ever defeat the insurgency."
U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates recently wrote in Foreign Affairs magazine, "The United States cannot kill or capture its way to victory." Yet it's Canada that set a deadline for troop withdrawal at the end of 2011. The U.S. is talking escalation. Anand Gopal, Afghanistan correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, described the situation on the ground.
"A lot of Afghans that I speak to in these southern areas where the fighting's been happening say that if you bring more troops, it's going to mean more civilian casualties. It'll mean more of these night raids, which have been deeply unpopular amongst Afghans. And also, there's a problem where whenever American soldiers go into a village and then leave, the Taliban comes and attacks that village."
Shukriya Barakzai, a female Afghan parliamentarian, told Gopal, "Send us 30,000 scholars instead, or 30,000 engineers, but don't send more troops. It'll just bring more violence," she said. Women in Afghanistan play a key role in winning the peace. A photographer recently wrote me, "There'll be various celebrations across Afghanistan to honor International Women's Day on Sunday, March 8th. In Kandahar, there'll be an event with hundreds of women gathering to pray for peace, which is especially poignant in a part of Afghanistan that is so volatile," she wrote. After returning from an international women's gathering in Moscow, feminist writer Gloria Steinem noted that the discussion centered around getting the media to hire peace correspondents to balance the war correspondents. Voices of civil society would be amplified, giving emphasis to those who wage peace. In the U.S. media, there's an equating of fighting the war with fighting terrorism. Yet on the ground, civilian casualties lead to tremendous hostility. Mary Robinson, former president of Ireland, underscored this.
"I've been saddened and shocked by the virulent anti-American responses to those wars. They're seen as occupation. I think it's very important that we learn from mistakes of sounding war drums, and particularly doing it as the United States, whether the rest of the world cares, as happened in particular initially in the war on Iraq. Yes, the United Kingdom did join, but there was a real resistance, and there were many people within the United Kingdom who did not support the alliance that paved the way for that war. And it has caused a lot of damage. We need to learn to build again the multilateral approach and the regional support approach to particularly difficult problems. We saw that in relation to North Korea, the six countries working five of them with the United States and still continuing to work. We need a similar type of built alliance in that region because of such a connection from the Middle East now to Afghanistan, to Pakistan, and even with the Mumbai incidents, India, and the tensions there. So we need to see an approach which builds on the strengths of working with neighbors.
Barack Obama was swept through the primaries and into the presidency on the basis of his anti-war message. Prime ministers like Brown and Harper are bending to growing public demand for an end to war. Yet in the U.S., there's scant debate about sending more troops to Afghanistan and about the spillover of the war into Pakistan.
I'm Amy Goodman with help from Dennis Moynihan.